Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode. Today's features, Caleb Hubbard of Hub and the Heavy Hearts. Had a great time catching up with Caleb again. Talking about a brand new record. He's got a 5-song EP coming out this week. And we get into the stories behind some of these songs, play some live acoustic. And we got a big old release party happening on Friday night, March 29th, Redfish, Bluefish in St. Charles, Missouri. So come out, support, grab a copy of the EP on vinyl and digital release coming the same day. So you can add it to your favorite playlist. But yeah, you're going to learn all about it on today's episode. Hope you enjoy this one. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri. Serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps out there. All kinds of tasty beverages. Delicious food like burgers, nachos, flatbread pizzas, pretzels, and all kinds of tasty eats. Every Friday throughout Lent, they're doing Fish Fry Fridays over there. So come out and grab some fish. And they've got some cool new beers out there to try out for a limited time only. They're doing a run out there in the Wentzville location called Bunny Love, an Imperial Red Ale infused with flavors of carrot cake and crafted with a blend of carrot and beet juices, along with a delightful pie spice fusion. Just in time for Easter and stuff, so check that out. Sounds interesting for sure. And new canned beer you can come pick up on a 4-pack of Thirsty Amiga. It's an amber lager inspired by the dark and amber lagers of Mexico. Another new beer called No Problem. It's a hazy IPA. So come pick up 4-pack cans of those and take home with you and have a good time with Friendship Brewing Company. All kinds of live music happening out there on the weekends. You got kicking off the weekend on Thursday, March 28th. They're doing Singo Bingo Night with Golden Oldies. Friday, March 29th, you can catch Robbie Burt at the Wentzville location. And Saturday, March 30th, Michael Marciano. Over the summer, they launched a second location out in Flint Hill, Missouri, just outside of Wentzville. Serving up same great beer, but brand new dining experience out of the Fly High Kitchen. All kinds of great times out there as well. And you can actually see the brewery out there. They've got the tanks right there. It's really a unique experience. And great live music on the weekends out there from Friday, March 29th, from Howard Levinson. And Saturday, March 30th, Fireside Duo. You can find their full beer menu, food menu, concert calendar, and much more at friendshipbrewingcompany.com. And follow along on Facebook and Instagram. And if you are in the Hannibal, Missouri area, come visit them up there too for their location along with Sidekick Barbecue up there. Plenty of great opportunities. You can also catch Friendship Brewing in a lot of your other local bars. They're now on tap in several locations around the greater St. Charles County area. So get involved with Friendship Brewing Company, friendshipbrewingcompany.com. That is it for me. If you need me, you can always find me, rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Email me, rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode with Caleb Hubbard of Hub and the Heavy Hearts.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, yo? This is Caleb with Hub and the Heavy Hearts, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beat scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guest that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot, could be rock, folk,
country or hip-hop jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with returning guest Caleb Hubbard of Hub and the Heavy Hearts.
Well, howdy folks. Hey, how are you?
Welcome back to the show, bud.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
This is very cool. I'm excited to catch up. We got a lot happening for you and the band.
Things are happening.
Yeah, man. So, got a lot to talk about. I looked it up, man. It was like September 22, I think, when we did last
one. Oh, was it that long ago?
Yeah, which is wild to think about. But we're, that's what's fun about the show. Just kind of like, for me at least, just cataloging all this stuff, like having all these episodes and be able to go back and look at that. And then on that episode, we did a couple of these songs live, which for me, just haven't following the kind of, evolution of the band as things are developing and stuff. Like we got, kind of these live kind of stripped down arrangements on the for the show, and now we have the full arrangements captured in the studio. We got horns on these songs and everything else. Like it just you kind of start with the initial vision, and now it's grown into what it, the final product. So
yeah, it is cool. I'd like to go back and check that episode out and see, because that was before the studio. That was before the production went into them, and like they blossomed,
Yeah.
They're like little children. They just grow and do their own little thing.
Yeah. But that's like, that's what I love about it. Like I said, just fun to kind of have these, this time stamp of what a moment in time that a couple years ago now, or whatever, year and a half ago, whatever it was. And like, and then, like I said, now we got this, final product. We got a brand new EP ready to go on, March 29th, it will be the official release and release party.
The drop.
We got the CD copies, and we have vinyl copies.
Vinyl's in the mail.
Yeah. And I think it's I was really excited to hear that you're pressing this on vinyl, so that's super cool. So let's talk about this night, man. Well, this is a big night in the making. We've been, a lot of hard work's gone into this. And, so March 29th, St. Charles, Missouri, Redfish, Bluefish, Hub and the Heavy Hearts album release party.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have a full lineup of musicians. We're going to have an 8-piece band out there. So, we got, 2 keyboards, trumpet, saxophone, backup vocals. And so we don't get a chance to bring all them kind of people, all of the people out that often. So it's going to feel good. It's going to be a good night to celebrate, people that took, had a part in making this what it was, because I couldn't do it without them. I don't know how to play horns. I wish I did.
It's also tricky while you're singing and
it is,
playing guitar.
So. It's like, if I had another hand and another couple set of lips, I could probably do that, but I don't. It's going to be a great night, man. We're looking forward to it. Sinead is going to open up the set. She actually did, she did backup vocals on the album, and that's sort of the first time we worked together. And then we've played a lot of music since then, together, me and Sinead have. And, so her band's going to kick it off, and, she's got some really good originals as well. So it's going to be a good night of, celebration.
Yeah.
And it feels really good to do it at Redfish because, that I played there a long time, before I even moved down to Texas. I played at Redfish quite a bit when it was relatively new, played in the parking lot for some other parties, and so Cliff's real supportive of local music around here. And so definitely feels good to do it there. And we're actually going to have the CD and the vinyl for sale at the record reunion. So if anybody doesn't get a copy that night, they can go down there and pick it up right off the shelf.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Is Sinead sticking around to sing with you on the songs then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're going to do, and she's actually a really good percussion player too. So I think I'm going to make sure she's got a tambourine or a shaker.
There you go.
You know, that's an element too that, you know, like it's missing sometimes, you know, and there was so much production that we put into the CD, you know, where it was like, it's always tricky to try to recreate some of that live, you know, where you got, you know, I think we have steel guitar on some tracks, you know, harmonica and stuff like that. So, getting that back out on the, you know, live is a challenge sometimes. So percussion is one of those things where, you know, when you don't hear a tambourine, nobody necessarily notices, but then when you hear it in there, you're like, oh, that was missing, you know?
Yeah.
Sinead's going to definitely stick around and then we're going to probably showcase some tunes with her, and with the band as well, you know, with her singing lead on it as well. So
all right.
Some covers and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool, man. $5 to get you in the door.
$5 at the door.
And then, we'll have these beautiful CDs and vinyl ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So come out and support and, some live local original music.
Yeah. Going to be a great night of music. Going to get funky.
Yeah.
There will be funk.
Yeah.
As man. I like to say.
I'm following along with you. I knew a couple of these songs, like I said, and I knew to expect some funk.
Right.
You've leaked some of these out as singles already along the way. And I think I texted you one day after listening to it on Spotify, the next suggested, like, it lumped in J.J. Gray and Mofro.
Right.
Which I thought was like really cool. Like, yeah. You know, which one of my favorite bands, and like to know that Spotify is hearing this kind of a funky influence, like it links you up with them.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I hope it's kicking up for a lot of other people's algorithms also.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's been one of the interesting things to see. Cause when you list stuff on Spotify and Apple and all that stuff, you get to see where it's getting played at and where it's going. And it's like, it's kind of crazy to see these songs travel the world, you know, like we got it placed on a playlist in Argentina.
Oh, nice.
And, it's gone pretty well down there. It's really cool to see them travel, you know, and take off and what they get placed with. And then, you know, to try to like put your music in a spot, you know, playlisting is a big thing these days. You know, it's like, if you want to promote your music, you want to get on playlists, you know, it's like kind of like the radio today, and trying to think about how your song fits in next to this or that. And, you know, and so it's been a challenge, and it's been cool too to look at it like, okay, this will fit here, you know.
Are you getting, you mentioned Argentina, are you getting like the come to Brazil at all? Is that, are you?
I hope so.
Yeah. Cause like, there's like, it's kind of a meme around, like almost like around here locally, like a lot of rock bands, friends of mine that, you know, like it's cool that people are listening to their music. But it's just funny that like they're texting or, you know, like get on socials or whatever and message them like, you know, tell them to come to Brazil. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. But we appreciate you listening. But it's like, it's kind of hard for us to get to Brazil.
It's an expensive journey.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we can't even, you know, tour the States, you know, let alone going international.
It's hard for me to get to Indiana.
Right. Yeah. So it's flattering that people, you know, but it's like logistically, that's a tricky one to pull off. So.
Yeah. And I hear of bands, you know, like I think Matt Lesh went over to France or some place recently, you know, and like, I'm just like, I want some of that. You can send some of that my way. But yeah, I'd love to go down to Brazil and Argentina and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but
man, so maybe this, tell them to tell some friends.
Right. Spread the word. Yeah. We'll make it happen.
If you book them, they will come.
Right. Feel the dreams.
But, Yeah, I just think it's cool, man. They, like I said, that music's you know, you travel, letting you those songs are getting out there to the people around the world. You'll be able to make an impact on somebody else's day, like and I just it's really cool, man. Especially like I think something like By My Side, which is the single we wanted to feature on here. This is a track one, and we did a, like I said, this is one of those that we mentioned. I mentioned from the previous episode, we did kind of a different arrangement on it, but now hearing the horns like really brings this song to life. But but this is one I think in particular, like you're talking about, like is getting some nice reception, because I do feel like this song in particular has a lot of heart to it. I feel it's sounds a lot happier than I think the than necessarily the lyrics are sometimes. Like, you know, it's I can, and there's, which is, you know, it's the fun thing with music, kind of does that little mind trick on you that you but
a lot of people think it's a love song, you know, when you hear it, it's like, you know, by my side and like all that, but and it is it's a, it's an ode to you know, our furry little friends that are always near us, you know, throughout our lives. And so it's definitely got an element of like oh I lost you, but you know, you're always there. You know
what I mean? So,
and I think everybody can relate to that a little bit, you know, anybody that loves animals.
And just you know, it's been a little while now, but I had a 17-year-old run with my beagle pup, and you know, it got to a point where she was getting pretty rough there at the end, and it was like it was tough to let go. But you know, it's, but that's exactly what this song, like, you know, hearing these lyrics after going through that stuff, like, is you know, really resonates and things. And
yeah, I had the same. I had a the dog that I wrote that after, was, her name was Pinky, and she lived to be 18 years old. And she was, the last couple of years, it was just like, how are you still alive?
Yeah.
You know? But and so there's a couple lines in there that kind of touch on that. You know what I mean? Eyes all cloudy. You know, she couldn't hardly see for a while there. And but you know, just a great dog, and just you know, also it ties in a little bit with, that was really my dad's dog. My dad passed away in 2014, and so it was sort of a last piece of a connection that I had to my dad,
you
know, like a living thing that I had to my dad. So there was a whole lot of emotions in there, and then you know, when this song started developing, it was like, okay, well, this is all therapeutic, you know, to some degree, you know. So it's a cool tune. It's it definitely is a, got a place in my heart for sure.
Yeah, man. And like I said, adding the horns just kicked it up another level, man. This was sounds really good and on the album. So take a listen right here, right now.
Always be there, always be there. been with me. Your eyes are cloudy, it's almost over now. I couldn't ask no more from this old girl. And now she's gone away, and I got to stay. No matter where I go, you'll always be there, always be there by my side. No matter where I go, you'll go there with me, always be there by my side, by my side, by my side.
This whole record really, like, I mean, sounds fantastic. I was really impressed with everything, yeah. You know, giving it a proper listen. And so where do we record all this at?
We did Blue Lotus right here in town. Yeah. Yeah.
With Mr. Paul Niehaus.
Paul Niehaus, the man.
Yeah.
He's really responsible for a lot of bringing out a lot of that stuff. You know, he's if anybody that's ever worked with Paul knows, he's just a really talented guy, and you know, just a good person, good energy, you know what I mean? So we couldn't have picked a better place to do that and to put these in there. A lot of the horns, you know, that was a lot of Paul's influence bringing it out.
Yeah.
We were hoping to get Paul out on the CD release party, but he's already booked. So it's like, yeah. That would've been really cool to get him in there, and you know, it was a really good experience, and we took our time a lot, you know. We avoided the urge to rush it, you know, and kind of got it to a level, and then took a step back from it from a month or so, and kind of tried to go in there with fresh ears and say, okay, well, what else does it need? You know, what else are we missing? You know, brought in some other folks, you know, and just sort of kind of rounded out some of those horn elements a little bit more, you know, so. Just like anything, sometimes you take a step back from it and you start to hear it a little bit more, and you're like, oh, that's what it needs. Yeah, of course. That was so obvious. You know? Right. But when you're so, you know, minutely focused on it, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Life Away is one that kind of surprised me a little bit, I think. It was a little more kind of a reggae feel,
yeah,
to this one.
Yeah, that one's a really cool one. Well, you know, everybody in the band's really big reggae fans, and so it was nice to have a change of feel, you know, and really tried to represent with the selection of songs a good cross section of like lots of influences, you know.
Right.
They kind of run the gamut of moods and everything, and so didn't want to go in and just do five funky tunes, you know what I mean? But yeah, Life Away is a cool one. It's another one too that lyrically is a little bit challenging to the listener, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's gonna put you it's gonna make you think about it, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. You could some people listen to it and they're probably like, oh, that's, you know, like oh, like they see a negative connotation there, and it's like, well, not really, no, you know what I mean? You can look at it on the other side of it, and there's obviously religious context there, but so yeah, I think it's one of those songs that you can take either way.
Yeah.
You can take it in a negative, you can take it in a positive, and being a songwriter, I like that. I like, sure, that stuff, you know, of let you decide. Whatever you want to think this is what it is.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, choose your own adventure. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I guess I was really influenced by those books.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I do. I agree. I like, so, you know, sometimes I always ask, like, what the story around the song, or, you know, and I'm not necessarily looking for people to spell it out exactly what they were going through when, right, they write, but sometimes, because some of those, like, it is, you know, maybe I even come up with something different in my own head to the story or lyrics, and like, you know, I'm like, this is what it means to me, and then it could take away from it, you know, like,
sure,
it, you know, so it's like, but you know, just so some of that stuff is just it's nice to kind of paint your own picture with it, you know, it's
right,
like wherever these lyrics lead you to believe and stuff, so
right. Yeah, and I like that. I enjoy that, the ambiguity of songwriting. It's cool. It's a cool thing to play with, you, yeah, know, where it's like telling a story, but you're kind of also keeping things vague, and,
sure,
you know, like I think the Beatles were the masters at that, where, you know, all these elements and, you know, even guys like the Band, you know, you listen to the Band's songs and there's all these like elements of religion and, you know, spiritual things in there. And, mm-hmm. but it's really vague. It's like, you know, it's just little pictures that put in your brain. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I see that.
Did you watch, speaking of Beatles, did you watch Yesterday, the movie yet?
Is that the one with, what's his name did? The Lord of the Rings guy did? Or is that a different one? That was,
I don't know.
About was Lord it on Rings. Apple, all that one? Like the
no, this
the
is, a, old... no, this is, it's on Netflix right now. It's a movie where the guy's like, there was like some, I don't know, flash out power outage or whatever. And then like when he comes up out, like he was hit by a bus. And when he comes out of it and all this stuff, like he says something about his girlfriend gives him a guitar and he plays a Beatles song. And then they're like, oh my God, that was beautiful. Like,
oh yeah.
You write that?
And he's like, I knew about this movie, but yeah. I never seen it. Yeah. Yeah.
So like he finds out that nobody in the world knows about the Beatles. And so like basically starts,
right.
recording as many Beatles songs as he can remember because he, and then
what a gold mine, right?
Yeah. And then he becomes like the biggest star in the world type of thing. I didn't finish the movie. I fell asleep the other night, but it was pretty interesting concept at least. I don't know that didn't for me personally, it didn't, and like, again, I don't know the ending yet, but right. it didn't, fully deliver as well as like it wasn't a great movie yet,
right.
at least I probably should watch the full movie before
right,
giving my review, but I was like, there was moments where I was like, okay, you know, it's like, but the soundtrack definitely saves it, you know, the right. fact that he's like, you're playing some of the best songs ever kind of thing, and
right. you can't go wrong.
but it's just it is an interesting concept to think about what would a world be like
right.
without the Beatles, like how much music they influenced and stuff, and
yeah, no doubt about it, like they're I don't think you can get away from their influence. You yeah. know what I mean? They're in everything, you know.
But yeah. it's so.
I'll have to check that out.
Definitely makes you think cause a little bit about that, like, you know. But it made me really kind of appreciate a lot more. Like, I mean, I've always been a fan, but like listening, especially when he's doing song after song and,
right.
you know, kind of thing, you're like, oh man, yeah, that was another great tune.
And, yeah. And the lyrics, you know, and then if you, because everybody wanted to know, you know, we talked about that just mm-hmm. a second ago about like they want to know what this is about, you yeah. know, and they hounded these guys and they're like, you know, I've seen a thing with Lennon where he was like, we were just making up stuff that sounded good together, right. you know what yeah. I mean, and we picked a word, he goes, you're thinking about it too much, and to some degree, you know, he's right. When you're writing songs, some of that is that, you know, yeah. and it's you are searching for things that are maybe mechanically right or good, or they just pop in your brain and you just go with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, that's the really kind of the magic of songwriting is this like, where did that come from? You know, why did this, like, there's the Time Goes Around. Gretchen was a leader. That's the first line. I don't know any Gretchens. I don't know I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that story is, right. you know? And I just kind of started building this story around this and just sort of kind of trusted my intuition and just go with it, you know, and see where it takes you.
Yeah. What the hell's Toe Jam Football?
I know, right? Monkey Finger, Coca-Cola, you know what I mean? Those guys. I think there was some drugs involved in that one. That's my theory on that song. Maybe a little LSD. What's going on there?
I think McCartney said something about the song Yesterday that originally I think he said scrambled eggs as a placeholder that he didn't when he was writing the song.
That was the name of it for a while.
I think that's the story. And then that's like funny. And so I think he was on with Jimmy Fallon and he sang. So then Jimmy did scrambled eggs as like the song and stuff.
Yeah, they sang
and like,
it.
And
they
like so so something
I want to hear that version. Yeah.
Something along those lines. Like it was just a placeholder at the time until yeah. and then he came up with
the sometimes you got a melody and you know yeah. you know how the word's gonna sound and then you're like, well what is the word? You know?
Yeah.
And then once you usually have a couple words, then it starts to like, you know, weave its little way through
sure.
through the life or through its life.
That's saw Steven Tyler on Stern Show talking about that, like it, that's why a lot of his
lyrics make no sense is because he's like just comes up with something that fits in there. Right. You know, it's like, it's just a word that fits in there phonetically. And like, so in the,
sometimes it's a very, it's a very mechanical process sometimes, you know, it's very much a, like a, I just need this thing and I need something that sounds like this. And then, and then you try to go and you try to, you know, pick something around it. That's what some of this great songwriters like Jason Isbell, you know, and those guys were, you know, they'll take it and they'll do that mechanically, but then also have these like beautiful stories and this, you know, sort of kind of all these metaphors and these just beautiful imagery. And it's like, all right, now I got something to work towards. You know? Sure.
What's one of your favorites lately? Like, is there a new artist or something you just recently discovered that you've really been burning up, like, you know, speaking of Isabel and stuff, like something that,
I think it's Red Clay Strays.
Yeah.
I really got into those guys recently. Really, really cool stuff. Really good. You know, it's a lot of that music that I tend to fall in love with these days is obviously country inspired, you know, it's got the West country Western feel, but it's not, you know, Brent Cobbs, we've bonded on Brent Cobbs quite a bit. And you know, we see the Steel Drivers, you know, that kind of stuff is very, the Steel Woods,
right? Yeah.
I always make, I always say the wrong way. Yeah. I haven't seen the Steel Drivers yet. They're coming, I think though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Red Clay Strays, man, they've been really getting a lot of time on my radio.
Yeah. They came to Hawthorne recently in St. Louis and I wanted to go, but didn't make it there, but it would have been a cool show to see there for sure.
They're getting pretty popular.
Yeah.
Rightly so. They're super talented.
Yeah.
I really like the singer's voice quite a bit, you know, and it's very kind of classic-y, sort of almost Elvis-ish, you know what I mean? Good songwriting.
Yeah. Mm. Nice, man. Yeah, I know. I was just like, it's something I just recently saw this guy. I guess he's kind of influencer or whatever you want. He's just a guy on Instagram I follow, but he wrote a thing about what's a song that makes you think of 60 degrees weather and needing a light jacket. and so people started submitting all their songs that fit that, and he compiled them all into a Spotify playlist, and
nice.
So I got on there the other day and I hit play and I just kind of went for a ride on there. And a lot of it, there was quite a few I knew, obviously, some, and a kind of wide range of years and talent and, you know, genres and everything. But, so I remember, hearing quite a few I liked that I knew, but then it was fun to hear some different stuff that I didn't know. And that's why I kept listening. I was like, so I discovered quite a few different artists on there and like, I'm always looking, trying to find something new to it that I like. And so that's why I like asking people what they're listening to. Maybe something new. I haven't heard it yet. And
it's actually been kind of a cool thing about getting listed on some of these playlists.
Yeah.
Cause some of it's in very independent music driven, you know, some of it's not, some of it's a mix, like the Argentina playlist. There was lots of like Latin funk bands and stuff that I would probably never heard of, you know? And so it's really cool to be exposed to that stuff where it's like, this is breaking out of my algorithm, you know, cause you know how that goes. Spotify is going to kind of drive you in their own algorithm. And so you got to kind of got to bust out of that sometimes or else your playlist is just going to be the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, let's play another tune. Kind of touching on what we mentioned to start the show, some of the different previous arrangements we did on the live, but we even did something different this time, and we stripped it away to just you and an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And last time you had drums and bass and electric guitar in your hand, I think, at the time. So,
yeah, we had Taryn and Mike on that one. And so, yeah.
So this time we're doing a little different take, and I thought this would be fun. Kind of has that, kind of like what it's like writing these songs, you know, for you in the studio or wherever you're, or bedroom or however you're writing. Like, that's kind of how I picture just sitting on the couch, picking along on the guitar and seeing what happens. And we did a song called Red Line that Red Line. Will be here on the record. And this one, you said about the devil.
Yeah, it's sort of it's sort of kind of the idea of like the devil personified in like a serial killer or just an evil person, you know, that's just walking around the world just like, don't mess with me.
Sure.
You ever seen No Country for Old Men?
Yeah. The, I don't know if I've actually finished the movie or watched the whole, I don't know. I probably should do that because I always hear great things. And
yeah.
For some reason, there's some of those movies that kind of just,
It's definitely a slow burn, that one is.
But that's a Coen Brothers, right?
Coen Brothers,
I mean, I'm sure I'll love it because I like almost everything they do. And
yeah, it's a slow burn, but at the end it delivers for sure. But that there's a he's like a hitman, I guess, you know, during that. And it, like,
I'm familiar,
that's like,
but
that's kind of like the perfect example of what I'm talking about in the song. It's just like, my life doesn't mean anything to me. And, you know, I'd watch the whole world burn, you know? And so
they, this sounded great, man. Like, this was a cool take with just you and the guitar. And, but like I said, you can hear the, full arrangement on the album.
Mm-hmm.
But this was cool, man. Thank you for doing this today. Sharing this take, you know, like I said, this is some of my favorite stuff. You keep getting kind of stripping it down like that. So
nice and intimate.
Yeah.
All right, this is a song called Red Line. Go tell it on the red line. Tell them I'm walking that way. You see me coming in the moonlight, looking for a soul to take. Float on down the river of lies, reaching the fountain and dream. Each man makes his own life, but I don't take it away. Go tell it on the red line, tell them I'm walking that way. You see me coming in the moon, looking for a soul to take. Man ain't nothing but a roadblock on my way to fame. You might think you know me, but I don't give a damn. Go tell it on the red line, tell walking that way. You see me strutting in the moonlight, looking for a soul to take. La 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 la, 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 la la. You can't hide, so let it ride. Might want to stash it away. Look deep down inside your soul, feel it slipping away. Go tell it on the red line, tell them I'm walking that way. See me coming in, la 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 la, 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 la 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 la. Fear and war only make me grow. Keep on listening.
water in the hatred and the soul. Keep on listening before I swallow the world. Keep on listening before I swallow the world. Before I swallow the world.
You mentioned in No Country for Old Men got me thinking, though. I did just recently see an article online that I guess some kind of team of psychiatrists and stuff or whatever. And
I think they, I saw that too.
And yeah, they ruled decided that he is the the most accurate description or depiction of a
right
psychopath
yeah
in a movie or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, to hear about
a good actor. Very good.
Yeah,
actor.
Yeah, you know, some of them are too played up for various things for
right
movies, but I thought that was funny to think the most accurate one on it.
It's very subtle the way they did it. And yeah, in Coen Brothers fashion, of course, very, very subtle, right. It's not on the nose. He's not really trying to be over the top, serial killer.
Yeah.
It's this guy's scary because he's got so much apathy. He does not care, yeah. And it's a great movie. I love it.
Yeah. Well, now I'll have to go check it out and get the full effect on that one after I finish watching yesterday, since I got up.
So there you go.
So I'll finish that.
Got to make a list, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, man. So again, March 29th, Redfish, Bluefish, will be your opportunity to come out and grab a copy to take home. But we have a few other dates locally that you'll be able to come out, and one of those was you've been getting some dates down at BB's and
Jazz Blues and Suits.
Yeah, down in beautiful St. Louis, right on the Broadway, and that's such a cool room, iconic. A lot of history in the walls, and many, many greats have been on that stage. And
feels really good to play there. It really does. It was like what I was telling you earlier, sort of kind of a bullet. What do they call it? Bucket list, bucket list moment for us when we played there. Just to, you get up on some of those stages and it's just, there's something there, there's all that energy in that room, comes back to you.
Yeah.
You feel it a little bit. So,
I used to go down there quite a bit. I still, when I can, but when I, it was a good run there through my, maybe late 20s and early 30s, where I was down, I wind up, I would go to maybe a pageant show or something early and wind up on Broadway, bouncing between the Blues Triangle, RIP to Beale on Broadway.
Right.
But that was such a great room too. And I used to have a lot of fun, seeing all my friends playing there. And then, just kind of make the rounds. Who was wherever? Right. There's always good music on
all them late night bars down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then I end up, that led into me being at Broadway Oyster Bar all the time, and then that turned into me getting a job there.
Right.
I was like,
the rest is history.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'll get paid to listen to music now. So, it was a good time, man. I had a lot of fun that run, but getting to see all kinds of great music down there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super glad that that they're revitalizing BB's, because it was kind of scary there for a minute. I was like, is this place going to close?
Because yeah,
man, that would suck.
Yeah,
it was always the place. Anytime I would have people in town, I'm like, let's go see a show. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't even necessarily know who's going to be there.
We'd get a lot of people come up to Oyster Bar and they'd be like, we're not really feeling this show for tonight. And I'm like, well, what are you into? Like, we want some blues. And I'm like, well, you need to go up the street, because that's where your more traditional blues, stuff typically, we had Oyster Bar had all kinds of various music. So,
right.
But anyway, it was kind of fun to have an idea of what, the note, like I was, I usually had a pretty good idea who was playing there and stuff from my list and things. And like, so I was like, I could point them in the right direction.
Right.
So
what are you into?
Yeah.
What's your poison?
Cause we'd get all, you know, of course you get tourist stuff down there, all the people that are not even from St. Louis and looking for something to do.
Yeah.
But
good stuff.
But yeah. So you'll be at BB's, with, the band on April 26th and May 23rd. So mark those on your calendar too. Good opportunity to come out and, and grab a record there too.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Other than that, we'll be all around the place, you know, always playing somewhere.
Let's talk about, you mentioned, in all this, what about the, artwork? Is there, who helped you? Did you, any significance to the, artwork for you, or are you,
So I've had the cover for a while. And I had that vision in my head, and I paint and I do other things. I'm a bit of an artist myself. So I've had that with the idea of I'm going to paint this. And so I had mocked this up digitally. And so I just grabbed a lot of little digital artifacts and this woman's face and this hair and this face and all these little like mushroom tree things in a road, you know, and I had that all assembled, and it didn't look really that good, you know, because it was just me kludging things together with, you know, Photoshop or whatever it was. And but I was going to paint it. Right. And so then when I started thinking about a CD cover here, an album cover, I was like, well, what about this? You know? And I actually, what I did is I fed that through AI.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what you're seeing there is me feeding an image that I created into AI, and then that morphing it and then morphing it into the back cover too. And then, you know, so it's kind of cool. It's sort of like a, you know, sort of kind of got to use the AI thing, you know, that's real trendy now. And I wasn't really trying to be trendy. It's really just, I'm lazy, you know, right. I didn't have time to paint it, you know, but I'm happy with the results. It looks pretty cool, you know, and it's definitely, definitely kind of special to me because I've had that, I've had that in my brain for so long, and to see it come into an actual like tangible item. Like, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about another one from we mentioned Time Goes Around.
Yeah.
Earlier, talking about that's what I was looking at. I was thinking, yeah, we did too. But I was so Time Goes Around. We did do a live version as well. Like I said, we kind of touched on the story about it a little, or kind of that is on the record, but we did do a live version of it, just you and a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And this one turned out real nice too. Another great song. And on the album, you'll hear more horns to go with it. This is another funky one. And that sounds really great on the record. But like, again, with you and just a guitar, like is, I feel like you can really dive into these lyrics a lot more.
Yeah.
And this was a cool take on it for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So what, what comes in, you feel like, anything comes to mind with this song?
This one is, definitely, it's sort of kind of, influenced by my love of science fiction, I would say, you know, and just, it's very much, some creative sort of takes on a story behind, you know, reincarnation. I got into Buddhism quite a bit a while ago, and I've always liked the idea of reincarnation, the loops, you know, everything's a loop, you know? And so that's kind of what that's playing on is that, you know, time is an abstract thing that we've created, and we don't know what happens after we die and what's the journey and, you know, how, you know, some people just might disappear and be in different timelines. Who knows, right? It's all this you know, sort of stone brain thinking, you know.
Yeah.
But it's you know, kind of about time travel mostly.
Sure.
You know? All right, cool. A little Time Goes Around. Gretchen was a leader. Hung on every word.
tells you I'll be leaving for another world. She kept on believing, she couldn't ignore the signs. One day she'd leave him, tell him all she learned. Listen to me, yeah, time won't break you down. Cause I have seen it, time, it goes around and around, round and around and around and around. Yesterday is leaving, rolling down the line. Train won't be slowing till you're in the ground. Listen to me, yeah, time won't break you down. Cause I have seen it, time, it goes around and around. Time, it goes around and around, round. Say it's better on the other side, but you can't know the reasons we all live and die. Listen to me, yeah, time won't break you down. Cause I have seen it, time, it goes around.
Reincarnation is real. What do you have, you thought about what you would want to be, come back as? Or?
I believe, I don't necessarily believe in like that you would come back as something else. Yeah. I think that we live these lives and I think that we live them in a loop or in some fashion, and maybe another universe or whatever it is, you know, it might not be linear like we think. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that every time we go around, we get a little better, and we're trying to sort of reach enlightenment, nirvana, if you will, you know. And so, you know, people who are maybe a little bit more in touch with that, they might be closer to reaching that, yeah. You know. So that's kind of what I believe, and that's kind of what the song is sort of kind of thinking about. It's like, you know, we got lots of go-arounds, you know.
Sure.
Maybe. But, or we might just die and then nothing. There might be nothing. You know, who knows, right?
I do. I mean, there's a lot of like unexplainable things, I think, that like there's some weird coincidences that happen. Like even in my own, like, you know, kind of also going back to the story about losing my dog.
Right.
Our next pup, and granted, they're both dogs, but she was doing stuff exactly the same as my old dog.
Right.
And it's like,
what is going on here?
It's, yeah, it's like, you know, they never met. Right. You know, they never had, you know, it wasn't like she learned some of this behavior from her.
Right.
And granted, they are both dogs. So there's that, I understand. But it's very weird that, to think right. that they do exactly the same, what, you know, and it's like,
right.
So it's almost like, you know, it starts, you feel like maybe there is something more here. Why this dog is with me, you know, why, especially, we adopted her, like, and like, wasn't like we, you know, it was just like kind of happened to, we were looking at a lot of different dogs at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, what's the dog that nobody's been interested in.
Right.
And we found, which is now Storm. And, but anyway, it was just like a really a random kind of thing. And it makes you think about it. Like, it's just like, this is strange that all these things are lining up this way. But
yeah, I think deja vu has always mystified me in that regard, you know, because to me, deja vu feels like I've lived this before.
Sure.
I mean, and I almost like I dreamt it, you know? And then, so you start to think about, well, what are dreams? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where's our mind going there? And, you know, what are we connecting to that, you know, you can dream the same thing somebody else does and have all these, you know, there's lots of those things like that where it just, there's other things out there. There's something that we don't know about where there's some cosmic energy that we're all connected to or something. Yeah. And I don't think we just go away when we die. I think something else happens, you know? And, I also feel it, you know, you've lost your mom. I've lost my dad. You feel that energy, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's not, it to me, it never felt like it was just gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually kind of felt like it was inside me a little bit more than it was. It just gone, you know?
Yeah. You ever, touching on that, you ever had, like, do you, any of the things with him, like, do you like, get in maybe dreams or in or visions or feel like, they say like these certain things and they'll be like, they came to visit you, in the dreams and stuff. And, there's a lot of that kind of stuff out there, but like, I didn't know if any personally or experienced anything. Like.
No, not necessarily. I will say that my uncle, who was really close to my dad, he says that, and his my aunt, they think that he's haunting them because my dad was a prankster, loved to scare people and stuff like that. And so I was like, well, that would probably be true. If he had the ability to do it, he would. You know? I feel more of like, like sometimes his guiding voice, you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of a thing that I manifest a lot of, like a big decision or anything in life that I need guidance on, you know, it's just like, I feel like, you know, I can almost hear it back there. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
But I don't think I've had any kind of like specific, any sort of like haunts or anything like that or any visits.
I've had a couple things that, you know, again, when it happens, it's like part of it, one of them is the angel numbers, you know, people believe in angel numbers at certain things. And I noticed, and again, it's part of just coincidence that it happened to keep, but like I keep noticing 12:34 as a time for some reason.
Hmm. Like, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, why? And like, that's when I'll be like, look at the clock. It's 12:34. And it's just like,
really?
You know, it's strange that, it, you know, that it keeps, and a part of it's probably my, you know, work schedule, my lifestyle. Like I keep, you know, I'm doing the same, like it happens a lot,
right.
But I guess it is strange how many times it does happen to where I notice that it's 12:34. And
I've had other friends that have said that there's particular number sequence that always pops up in their life. My buddy is, I think it's 107.
Yeah.
He's like, that's just my number. I don't know why. It's just my number, you know?
And then, I remember when mom passed, there was like, you know, a couple of days later or whatever it was, something I remember having like this super vivid dream. And kind of freaked me out, but also like felt at peace.
Yeah.
I felt that like, it was like her in this like red evening gown, like, you know, hair done up you know, like, and looked nice. And like, she was, some going to some fancy party or whatever kind of thing. And And I just felt like that was her saying everything's fine. So I'm like, I felt, comfortable with that. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. like, but it was just like, when I woke up, it was just like, you know, I'd had a lot of dreams over the years, but that right. was one that was like super vivid.
Yeah.
And just felt like that, there was something different about it. You know, it was just like.
Yeah, you almost feel like you're being visited a little more than anything else.
So that one, that one's definitely, some thinking about it, some of that stuff. And so it makes you makes you feel like that, you know, I feel also even just our brains and are still, untapped for the most part of like the powerful powers of our brains and stuff. Yeah.
I feel like we're more like our brains are more attuned to like an antenna than it is anything else. You know what I mean? I think it's a sophisticated antenna, because a lot of what we perceive is not necessarily reality. You know what I mean? Like it's our reality, of course, but you mentioned dreams, and I had stopped smoking weed back in June. And
so something you said yesterday, I just stopped yesterday.
It's been 5 hours. I was not prepared for the amount of crazy dreams that was going to come back into my life, because that's a thing when you are a pothead, is that you don't dream.
Yeah.
You don't really dream a lot. And then when you stop for that, you really flush your system. Yeah. It's like this rush of like crazy dreams. And I was actually keeping a journal for a while because some of these were like insane, and my girlfriend at the time was like, you need to stop telling me about these because these are weird dreams. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
But I think I did have, now that we're talking about it, I did have my dad visit me a couple times in dreams like that. It was nothing, really vivid like yours, but there was definitely some involvement in there.
Yeah. And I think of, I can't remember who said it now. I remember hearing a comedian talking about like quitting smoking and then like you're feeling like you have like superpowers, like you remember everything, where are my keys? So right here.
I have enjoyed the clarity back in my life for sure. It's everything was just a little foggy before, it's interesting.
I don't know. I never mess with the stuff, but I can I guess it would probably help for that sense. Like it just kind of puts you in a deeper sleep where it's not really getting that brain activity like that.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I don't know the particulars on why it doesn't let you dream all that much, or maybe you still dream, but you don't remember them. I don't know what it is, but tell you what.
I had a weird dream the other night. It's the first time I'm saying this out loud, but this is kind of the weird.
I always think of your black sheep. Remember black sheep, Tommy Boy? He's like, picture this, a circus midget. My grandma on a tricycle.
Whips and chains. And like,
oh my God, are you crying?
Put your mother on the phone. I saw a good meme of that one day, and it was like that. And it's like, going to my local tattoo artist and like, what do you want in tattoo? And like, and it's like going on with that and made me laugh really hard. So, so I had this weird dream where it was like, kind of like a horror movie. It was pretty much exactly like, The Fog.
Okay.
Like, or The Mist or whatever, one of those kind of things, where this like fog came in to the town that I was in my head, when the fog came in, it was cartoon version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we're in the fog.
Nice.
But people were like deathly, scared.
Right.
That the turtles. It was the 1990s cartoon version of Ninja Turtles, and I don't know. I was like, man, what the hell is going on in my brain? And why is this
why
I got this weird mashup of things, pop culture stuff, and
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what I had for dinner or right. drink that night, but I.
Sometimes it's so, like that where yeah. you're just like, whoa,
yeah,
hold on.
I remember waking up and I was like, what the hell was that?
So yeah, there was a couple where, when I was keeping the journal, because when you start to journal like that, dream journal, you get better at remembering them. You get better at like yeah. remembering the details. And at some points I would be wait, you know, because you dream 5 or 6 times a night, you know, you get into cycles, and I'd wake up and I'd be like, and I'd write it down, you know, and
then you try to go back to it.
And then yeah. right. Yeah. And then, yeah. then there's some people that, you know, the, what do they call that? Lucid dreaming, where they yeah. can, you know, they say they can control it. And I've never had that, or it's always like, I'm on this ride. I don't yeah. know where it's going.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. We're talking about Ninja Turtles and the mist and yeah. I'm just here to party.
Yeah. yeah. That's some weird ones, man, but it's fun. It's sometimes I do. I probably should do that. I should probably start writing these things down. Maybe I'll write a song out of them or something. Like,
yeah,
okay, maybe those buckets.
If anything, it's just interesting. You yeah. know what I mean? To see what's going on there. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm gonna actually go dig that out. Now that we had this conversation, yeah. I'm gonna go dig that journal out, and you know, because I think I did like, you know, 20 or 30 pages of it, and then I trailed off.
Yeah.
I haven't been dreaming a ton lately. So I think I leveled out a little bit from my.
Well, yeah. Tell me if you haven't missed right. Ninja Turtles one tonight.
Right.
all right. We got one more live one we did. And this is a cover, and maybe give you a little glimpse of, you know, we do have these band gigs like this release party, mm-hmm. but you do, there are moments where you can catch Hub solo around town. And, yeah. and these are nights where it's usually just you and a guitar like that.
Yeah.
And, this is one that you recently shared up on your socials that I got a kick out of, and I thought was fun. And this is, a cover of Lake of Fire. And I think this kind of also feels like it ties in well into the theme of like your with Red Line and right. stuff
all
too.
These so devil songs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but this is a classic Meat Puppets / Nirvana cover. Yeah. Like, maybe when your version, you know, really took me back to the Nirvana Unplugged.
Unplugged, and, yeah.
yeah.
When the bad folks go and they die, don't go to heaven where the angels fly. Go to a lake of fire and pride. See him again on the 4th of July. I know a lady who came from the loop, bitten by the dog with a rabbit too. Went to the graves a little soon, flew away in on a hollow moon. Where the bad folks go when they die, don't go to heaven where the angels fly. Go to a lake of fire and pride. See him again on the 4th of July. People cry and people moan, look for a dry place to call their home. Then they find a place to rest their bones, while the angels and the devil try to make them their own. Where the bad folks go when they die, don't go to heaven where the angels fly. Go to a lake of fire and pride. See them again on the 4th of July. Where the bad folks go when they die, don't go to heaven where the angels fly. Go to a lake of fire and pride. See them again on the 4th of July.
Yeah, I think I saw some people doing this on TikTok, and one guy in particular was doing it with a real country vibe, and I thought, well, that's a cool take on this, you know what I mean? So I was tried to get a little bit of that, you know, of what I bring to the table yeah. there, you know, in that. So
yeah, man,
it's a cool tune. Always yeah. been one of my favorites. So.
But yeah, follow along with Hub on your socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and click subscribe on YouTube. for more of those videos. And you can catch them coming to a town near you, hopefully. Bouncing around all over the St. Charles, greater St. Charles area, and making your way downtown like
I play all over. I get over in Illinois a lot nowadays. Lots of central Illinois gigs probably coming up. It's been a lot of time in Springfield. And so get all over the place.
Yeah, you know? What do you speaking of videos and things, have you thought about maybe a music video for one of these songs? Or
we've done lyric videos for all of them, and we're actually going to do a pretty cool lyric video for Shake the Heavens, which is going to be the final song released the day of our album. That'll be the final song. We're doing a lyric video there, and that should, I think from what we've discussed, he's going to play into a little bit of the imagery with the album cover, which will be cool. A music video is like, I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, what would I want to do? Yeah. You know, how would I want to do that? You know,
Could be fun to come up with a storyline and all, you know, having all the band as characters and
right. stuff. Like,
especially with
like, how good of an actor am I? Yeah. I don't think I'm any good at that. Right. But you know,
it's just fun to play a role for the day. I think that would be interesting to see you guys have some fun with that.
I've always appreciated like Foo Fighters, how much they really go all in on their videos, you know, and really just, you know, there's some of them that they are the characters, you know, and
What's that one? Like Dave's like wearing like a blonde wig, girl's wig and stuff kind of thing. Like he's like a little girl and stuff.
I can't remember the song.
I can't remember what song. Is it Monkey Wrench maybe or something?
It was one of the earlier ones, right?
Something like that.
Yep. We're kind of thinking about that, you know, like what would that look like, you know. I like live performances. I like showing that, but you know, there's a little bit of a difference between a live, you know, filming a live video or, you know, doing an actual video.
Yeah. So you could do you can even do both in there, like it'd be fun too, like play characters going to see a Hub and the Heavy Hearts show or something like that. Right. You know, you stumble into a bar and you guys are up there playing or something. Yeah.
I kind of like how Tyler Childers has done it in a lot of his. He has the band as sort of kind of not really the band. They're sort of like characters in the video. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just like, they just happen to go into this bar and this band's playing and, you know, but it's the band.
Yeah.
I like that kind of idea about stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
We're definitely tossing around the idea. Just thinking about what makes sense, what feels right, you know?
Yeah.
That's a whole other element that, I don't know, you just never think about it, you know? Like I've spent so much time thinking about getting the audio right, you know what I mean? And then videos were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And lyric videos, those are kind of their own little, you know, genre, don't know the element. And those have been fun. I've gotten some off Fiverr that were pretty cool. And then the last couple I did myself. And then a gentleman named Tyler is doing this new one. He's a local guy. I can't remember his last name though. That should be fun because, you know, I love giving back to, you know, local guy that's doing this, local artist.
Yeah, he's good at what he does too.
I've seen a lot of his stuff. So we're looking forward to that. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, I know though we're along from the days of MTV and things, but I do think videos are a cool way to kind of show some personality along with, you know, highlighting a song and things. So,
yeah. It's definitely coming. Just figuring out what that's going to be.
Yeah, man. And we got a bunch of talented guys around town with the cameras. So be fun. But yeah, something to think about.
Yep.
What about? Do you have any goals with this? Like, as far as would you like to do some more regional touring or do anything like that? I mean, like we joked about Brazil, but like, is there anything a little more in the cards for this year, you think? Or
I think getting out of St. Louis a little bit more, and we always kind of have quite a bit. We actually ironically don't play in St. Louis all that much, you know, more so we're playing out in Illinois and mid Missouri and all that kind of stuff a lot. So yeah, I mean, I think that's, I'd love to be able to put on tours, you know, and go out for a week or two, but it's so hard these days with everybody's schedule, you know,
well, linking up. When you got 8 people in the band too.
Like. Right. Right. And so I've definitely thought about doing it, a little bit with, you know, kind of a one man band thing. I do a lot of looping and stuff. Yeah. So I think that's probably one thing I'll do a little bit of too, is developing some of these songs and developing some original materials where it's a set, you know, of 1 or 2 hours that is just me being able to do those songs in not the same way. Of course, you can't reduplicate a bunch of talented musicians on stage with you, you know, but doing them in a way that is sort of still kind of, you know, more than just an acoustic guitar.
Well, it could be a good way to get your foot in the door for some rooms and be like, hey, like if you guys like this, right. I can come back with the band and we can do it upright. And, you know, right. It's like kind of build a name in a different market and, you know, and you sell some CDs. Like, hey, mm-hmm. If you like the way this sounds, like we can do this too. So,
yeah. And that was sort of kind of one of the big things about not only just doing the CD because we wanted to and, right. and needed to, and it just came out. Right. But also of like, well, you gotta have a product, gotta have, you know, something to leave them with, you know, and it's not enough just to say, well, hey, we got some stuff on Spotify.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you gotta have some t-shirts and some vinyl albums and some stickers and all koozies and all yeah. that stuff, you know, right. I think I saw something the other day that said, bands are actually merchandise salesmen with a 30 minute intro pitch right. or whatever. And I was like, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
Cause you know, most of the touring guys, that's where they make their money. They're not making a lot of money off stage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. It always stuck with me. Like, I remember, seeing Head PE years ago they've been a band for 30 years now or whatever, right. you know, and Jared, their singer, like was appreciative that they're still doing it, you right. know, and like he's had some different people in and out of the band over the years, but
right.
but that they're still able to make a living, you know, playing music. And he got off the stage and he sat there and took pictures with everybody that came to the merch table, you know, was happy to sell them a shirt, that, you know, and shake their hand. And it, you know, it's like he didn't have somebody else slinging his merch. They were doing it themselves. Right. And like they were, but you know, just like that stuff, like the personal thing goes a long way with all that stuff. Like I'll happy to throw $20 in for a shirt and give you guys some gas money to get you down the road. And
right.
But having that, you know, just like I said, it meant a lot that, you know, even at that level and stuff, like, you know, that they want to take a
right
picture with everybody and like, you know, share a moment with you. And mm-hmm. so
that's definitely what it's all about, you know, is that connection of like you're enjoying what I'm doing and I'm here. And like you said, he's out there doing that himself. Is not, you know, the temptation is to get a pretty girl to sell the stuff for you, you know what I mean? But like you get so much more out of it if it's like, hey, you finish your set and then you go down there and you, right. you know, you shake everybody's hand,
yeah,
you know, take pictures and kiss the babies.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully maybe we'll sign a bunch of these on the 29th.
Yeah.
Snap a bunch of selfies and keep this thing going, man.
Yeah, get momentum.
Yeah, maybe help fund the next studio session and get the album EP number 2 going.
Yeah, we got the songs already kicking. I think you'll probably hear a couple of them that night, actually. Yeah. Get a little peek of some new songs. So that'll be fun to do.
Yeah. And like I said, this as a full collection will be as it's supposed to hit the streamers that same day, the 29th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll be released in its full entirety on all of the various platforms.
Yeah. So you can add to your playlist at home whatever you're doing and jam along to throughout the week and stuff, man. It's like I said, that's how I survive at right. work, man. Having tunes going all day long.
Yep. So we gots to have them.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and I can't wait for this party and get down and get funky with you.
Get down, get funky. That's what we're gonna do.
Man. It's gonna be a great night, and like I said, it's March 29th. Redfish, Bluefish, $5. Hub and the Heavy Hearts, and Sinead, and you got eight-piece band with you all night long, mm-hmm. and we're gonna be
some all stars, man,
kicking
some
out the jams, yeah.
So, well, yeah. I always love chatting music with you, man. So appreciate you having me back, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely, we'll do it again soon.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Same here, bud.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.